Hart at Santa Cruz City Hall.
Okay, what's going on now? You're on. You're on the air.
All right.
101.3 FM. We got to talk about an issue that's happening right now in Santa Cruz, and it's happening right now, so you might want to go join in.
And it's called Freedom Sleepers. It's the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. You might listen to Robert Narces
on Sunday.
Radio program here on the radio station. But anyway, what's going on right now tonight is we have Freedom Sleepers. They're protesting at City Hall. What are they protesting, Roland?
I think, I'm not sure, I haven't read that, but I think it's so that people have the right to sleep in their cars or sleep in public like normal human beings.
That's what it is. It's protesting, I think what it is I'm not sure about this. Robert Norris would know, and I think he might even call in at any time now. But it's protesting the right to sleep peaceably in public areas, and I think there's been a city council, not a city council, but a sort of a city crackdown on that, with police officers being really harsh
I heard on television
assaulting
today.
People.
Yeah,
who
on
are
television
sleeping.
Today they were saying that I forget where, I think it was in Monterey. They had a safe sleeping area, and one of them was a church. But if you wanted to stay at this church, you had to give them your record and all kinds of information. And even then, people in that lived by the church were saying, "Well, we're not sure if it's safe around here." It's like, you know what, people have the right to sleep.
So people are going to be trying to spend the night tonight at City Hall. And City Hall is where, of course, the city, Santa Cruz City Council meets. It's where the offices of the mayor and the city council members are. So a lot of stuff goes on there at City Hall. And you've got Food Not Bombs and all these other programs going on there supporting this. The last council meeting shut off comments. The last many speakers were cut off by the mayor, so people were trying to speak about this issue, and I guess it was just shut off, and that's what I'm seeing on this website, Huff.
So, a $500 reward to the Free Radio Friend. FRSC, Friendly Radio in Santa Cruz, reaches out for a new studio location. We need something urgently. If you provide us with that lead, we have for you $500. Contact us, frsc@freakradio.org. Thank you for your help.
Attention, all of you freaky listeners. DJ Nurse Annabella here at your service. You may know me from Love Lamps in A-Track Theater, airing here every Sunday from 4 to 7. Anyways, just taking the extra time to tell you that we need your help. Yes, Free Radio Santa Cruz needs your help in our search for a brand new home. We need a new studio. And if you can point us the way, please email us at frsc@freakradio.org. And yes, there's a $500 reward.
That's right!
If you can help us. All right, DJ Nurse Annabella, over now.
But you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Oh, yeah, I know all about the FCC. They will clean up all your talking in a manner such as this.
They will make you take a tinkle when you want to take a piss.
And they'll make you call fellatio a trouser-friendly kiss.
Here's the blatant situation. There's no negotiation with the fellas at the freaking FCC.
They're as stuffy as the stuffiest of special interest groups.
Make a joke about your bowels and they order in the troops.
Any baby with a brain could tell them everybody poops.
Take a tip, take a lesson. You'll never win by messing with the fellas at the freaking FCC.
And if you find yourself with some young sexy thing, you're gonna have to do her with your ding-a-ling. Cause you can't say penis. So they sent this little warning. They're prepared to do their worst.
And they stuck it in your mailbox, hoping you could be coerced.
I can think of quite another place they should have stuck it first.
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
Next up on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides, the Thursday, August 2nd, 2018 show. Completely, well, not completely contemporary, but mostly topical stuff, including an update from Brent Adams of particular interest to me. Then another report from over the hill from old-time activist Jim Vivian, who I haven't heard from in years, detailing his struggles with a landlord and his unexpected, at least temporary, victory in court. And finally, the Rogues Gallery from the Red Church, the relatively regular report I do coming out of the Calvary Episcopal Monday morning meal from last Monday. All that, and maybe a flashback from way back when, 20 years ago almost, when Becky Johnson did her Club Cruise show and had on it then new mayor, or at least city council member, Chris Crone, who has again reappeared on the Santa Cruz City Council. Stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't.
Okay, well, I'm on the line with activist and real service provider Brent Adams, distinguished from the many phony service providers around town. And today, of course, is August 2nd, 2018. And I notice on your message, which is at 234-9848, for those who are interested in 24-hour storage, that you are actually announcing 24-hour storage. I'm probably behind the times. You've been doing this for a while, right?
Day and night storage?
Yes.
Yeah, we're in our second month. Just finishing our second month, actually. It's August 1st. Happy birthday for second month.
But now, have you actually been announcing this? I know you were delaying the announcement.
Well, on our outgoing message, certainly, we always want something to offer people who call this number, which is our emergency number. So we put the number there, but that's not necessarily an announcing it. We've been doing a slow announcement as we've gotten, you know, the question is, are we, has the city acknowledged us to the point where they're not going to shut us down? And last week it was very trepidatious. We, if you recall, we had some the city manager told us to cease and desist 2 weeks ago. And then I met with the city manager's office, actually, Susie O'Hara. And we got to a point where she asked us to come up with a six-month plan, which we did was our pre-existing plan. You know, we were trying to move from the current parking lot number 17 into private parking lot and or a fixed building. So, and we just wrote our, you know, we worked up a plan for parking lot, at least for the time being. We are at 92 participants in our program now. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And give us again the location of the lot for those who just tuned in.
Current location is we expect to be there for at least another month or two. Behind Wheelworks, that's downtown Santa Cruz on the corner of Laurel and Front Street. It's between the levee and the back of the building of Wheelworks. It's a lovely parking lot, very seldomly used. It does get used in the summertime or on Saturdays when the beach traffic gets full. Also, it's the place where, of course, the Warrior Stadium uses. So in that regard, we won't be able to use it when basketball season is happening.
And you're right next to the Broadway Bridge, right?
That's correct.
So, have you actually been offered any assistance from the city? I mean, I keep reminding our listeners that you were, and you had a deal with the city last fall that they, in my view, welched on, and they denied, and that welched on the homeless community by essentially denying them storage space except for those who were in the San Lorenzo Park area who had tents, which was good for them. I guess theoretically open to a lot of people if they could get there, although it varied. So has Susie O'Hara, who I have not a lot of particular regard for, and I don't expect you to share my disregard, but, you know, I mean, she's also maybe mellowing, perhaps, with this River Street campground, mini campground, we should say, that they have out on River Street, the barbed wire boneyard place, but the one that does provide some storage for the people who go there and some, you know, a place to be during the day if they want to, and also kind of privacy within their tents. Has she provided you with any indication that they're actually going to assist you in some way? Not that I necessarily suggest assistance from the city is a good thing to rely on, mind you, but go ahead.
We spent a lot of time reaching out to them for that assistance. It fell on completely deaf ears. Until they gave us we had no response for them at all until cease and desist order, as I'm calling it. And now, we're using a city parking lot. So to that extent, the city is unintentionally, partnering with us. And now that they're aware that we are there, they've come on to the, we've had both Susie O'Hara, Planning Commissioner Alex Corey, and even the police chief, Andy Mills, have all been on the program, have taken the tour, and, you know, giving tacit support. And that means, you know, they're not giving any money or any help, but if they allow us to exist, that's a big deal at this point for us. So we're there.
So what kind of problems have developed, if any, and what kind of unexpected advantages have you found? I mean, what kind of give us the positive and the negative?
We need to get out of this this essentially a glass house. We're using our shuttle van, which is lined with windows, and it's not as secure as we'd like it to be. Feeling a little vulnerable there. We park it a relatively safe location, but we're either moving towards a facility and we're raising money for that. That would just be our small office coupled with the storage space where people can come to. Now, that's the biggest challenge of all. Where in downtown Santa Cruz can people congregate as they're accessing and dropping off, you know, storage?
Particularly if they look homeless, for heaven's sake.
Right, right. So that'll, luckily people are looking decreasingly homeless the more that they're using our program. They're showing up with, very small backpacks, if any. And yeah, the people who are really using our program from day to day have transformed their experience of homelessness completely. They're walking around unencumbered. They show up in the morning to drop things off. They pick things up at night. We're really loving, and also the outpouring of gratitude and the stories are just proliferating of how beneficial this is for the people who are using it. Then other people are using it, infrequently. Those are people who are already carrying a large amount, and they've discovered that, you know, things are being stolen out there on the street. Theft is increasing, desperation is increasing. I can tell you some of the stories that we've been hearing. So people who are carrying large amounts of stuff, they're using the program to put stuff away for safekeeping that they never, that they realize that they shouldn't be carrying around, you know, documents, heirlooms, things like that.
You also have limited space, though, so for those who are carrying three bags full as they wander about, can't really use your service in its entirety, right?
Yeah, we're offering as many as 60 gallons. That's one bin on board and two at our separate fixed storage units. So we'll drive things to and from a storage unit for people, but they don't have access to that regularly. We encourage them to use the one bin on board on the daily or weekly, but much less frequently for the other two bins. So people have been storing quite a fair amount of stuff with us, and again, we're going to have to focus on, you know, we got a fundraising campaign in progress to fund the rest of the year. But yeah, we're doing what we can. So far, so good. We didn't put the word out far and wide. There wasn't a run on the program. It was a nice increase in usage. We've got a lot of people who are using it infrequently. So when we identified that, we could take their bin and put it off into hard storage, and then they check out. We have people, maybe I would say 20% of the people using our program have their stuff removed from the storage vehicle to hard storage because they're using it so infrequently that they can just check it out, you know, come in one day and then get the bin the next day.
Now, how secure are people's stuff? Have you had any break-ins or thefts?
Yeah, we had a breach of the program. I had my home, which is an RV, broken into and ransacked when I went out of town for a night. And we normally have myself or the worker, who also lives in an RV, parked nearby. But that night, the storage program was parked near the RV. Somebody gained access but did not come into it, meaning one of the doors was forcibly opened, and that was really surprising because that door is double bolted, so it took a massive amount of wrenching, but then they couldn't get in because of the wheelchair lift. Luckily they didn't break a window, so that's why we're a little desperate right now. We didn't lose any property, but you know, I went into, you know, emergency mode, and either I'm in a weird and a queasy moment right now where we're waiting on answers back from a few real estate brokers who are, you know, they lease property leasers, rental agents, about, you know, office space where we're, if we don't move into one of these places very quickly, I have to go buy a box truck.
A box truck would be more secure?
Yeah, much more secure. It's, you know, steel and, you know, huge rocks on the back. Yeah.
How would people contribute to this program?
We are taking all donations through this time of year. It all goes to the storage program, unless otherwise noted. It's warmingcenterprogram.com. There's a donation button there.
Warmingcenterprogram.com with a donation. Okay.
Yeah. We also take donations, check written to P.O. Box 462 Santa Cruz, under the name of the Warming Center Program, care of storage program.
Are the donations rolling in, or is it merely a trickle?
Well, we did a Facebook thing last month, actually 2 months ago, that went really well. Nancy did a small one. I'm tasked with, you know, doing, we have a, we had good seed funding to start. We have matching funding. That's amazing. That requires me to get on it. I'm also writing I wrote a grant for it. And now we're going towards a fundraising dinner event. We're going to do dinner theater, a little different for us, but, India Joe's Catering, we'll do it at 418. We'll have a little performance along with the dinner, all benefiting the storage program. That's going to be September 14th, and I still have to get that all organized.
So
moving from the storage program, unless there's more you want to say, can I get you to hold for just a minute? It looks like an incoming call here.
Yeah, I'll hold.
Hang on. Okay, Brad, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So you've also, of course, have a number of other hats. One of them is to, you know, you've been up and down the coast videoing other sanctuary-type villages, encampments, homeless gatherings of people, survival places. And you've also been concerned about violence, vigilante violence in Santa Cruz with the homeless outside in Santa Cruz. Any updates on either of those counts?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of reports of violence against women, often circumstances where women are addicted to drugs, and there's a lot of coercion and sexual abuse and physical violence out there in some of the camps. And I don't know if I told you last time, but women have been camping together, trying to band together to protect each other, but men are coming in. It's been very cold at night. You know, people have forced them to give them a blowjob to get their purse returned or just to get a hoodie. You know, that's basic abuse, sexual abuse. And then people are really just beating up women, and people are being raped, and it's really... so that's one story. We're going to do a women's homeless women's defense course, self defense training with Lainey Sherman conducting the trainings. It's a 1 day. We're going to do an afternoon with a potluck in a park like the RV West, and we've got some numerous other people involved. Unfortunately, summertime people have been very taxed. We wanted Miley. Of the library, Chris Youngren, and they're totally they expressed desire and agreement that the thing needs to happen, but they haven't been able to participate. I had to cancel the planning meeting for that just because people couldn't make it, so that was very frustrating for me.
Mm-hmm.
But Lainey's on board. We'll be meeting August 5th to talk about it in a couple of days. Additionally, there have been a rash of violence and theft sprees downtown and on the beachfront. People, I'm still trying to figure out who's doing this. You know, from night to night, I'm having people come to the storage program to say, you know, people stole my shoes while I was sleeping. People went through my pockets. My wallet was taken out of my pocket while I was sleeping. You know, things like that. People's backpacks and purses are being stolen regularly. Last week we had wheelchairs being stolen again. People wake up without their wheelchair. And then we had this terrible experience of musical wheelchairs, I'm calling it, because somebody would think that another person going by on a wheelchair had stolen their wheelchair. There were fights between two people who both need wheelchairs. It was really fucking amazingly terrible. I was told from someone named Steve that another guy took his wheelchair, so I went and facilitated, got that wheelchair from the other guy, and it turned out Steve was wrong. That guy didn't steal. So I literally, personally, took a wheelchair from somebody. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I
can.
A nightmare. That was during a very bad weekend when my RV was burglarized.
We're going to hear more about that in a moment, but to up the mood, or maybe not, change it a little bit, here's a little music.
Convince all the poets they're crazy. Convince them they never will fly. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's delusion. Sit down and shut up and then die. Be impressed with the man with the money. Clap your hands when he waves it around. And dance without moving a muscle. Sing without making a sound. Tell all the dreamers it's useless. They just didn't get here in time. And make sure they all think it's too wide a river, too high a mountain to climb. Tell all the artists they're crazy. Tell them they're sick and on fire. Tell the poets that nobody's listening. They're a fake and a fraud and a liar. Convince everybody they're worthless. They'll never catch on or get by. Convince all the children they're ugly. And tell them it's hopeless to try. Tell all the dreamers it's useless. They just didn't get here in time. And make sure they all think it's too wide a river and too high a mountain to climb. Tell all the artists it's over. It's embarrassing, they didn't know. It's a pointless dead end of the journey. And the funeral was years ago. There were bouquets of flowers and speeches. It was really a beautiful day. It would help if they pick up the pieces and just maybe get out of the way. Tell all the dreamers it's useless. They just didn't get here in time. And make sure they all think it's too wide a river and too high a mountain to climb. Make sure they all think it's too wide a river and too high a mountain to climb.
And that was Convince All the Poets They're Crazy from Carol Denny's album Because We Upon This Earth Are One, also available on YouTube. Now back to Brent's report.
So we're talking mostly about non-official theft rather than seizure of property by police, rangers, first alarm, Panther services, etc. Any reports on that score?
Yeah. It's painful. You see these ranger trucks driving down the road with a tent that's not even broken down in the back of it. You can see piles of sleeping bags. You know, it looks like good gear. People who are either new to camping in Santa Cruz or weren't camped in the wrong place and weren't there. That's been of course the entirety of as you call it. Paradise Park has been, Camp Paradise, completely cleaned out. And also all of Sycamore Grove, they brought in the tree masticating machines, the grinders, and have totally cleaned these areas out so that the little brush, they went in there with bulldozers. So both of those areas now completely uncampable. Nobody's out there. And which has forced people up into the upper ocean area, Felker, Blaine, people in those areas, forcing people into even areas downtown where we don't, the library has now got a crew around it late at night again, after the last year of not seeing that. So, just things are getting pushed from one area to the other. And when you have people who are very desperate pushed into the community, that's what. And also, Coral Street. I don't know if you've been up there for a while, but that's seeing a bit of a siege again. That's a negative term. Seeing a concentration again.
Have you had much contact with these other camps and talked to folks in them?
Yeah. I just kind of approached them, let them know that there's a storage program out there, trying to see what's going on. Trying to stay a little bit aware of why people are in an area, where were they moved out of, what's happening, and that's where I've been getting the reports of women being abused, people having the, I've also been looking for my stolen property, so I've been going into some of these areas, and it's just harder than ever. Wherever people are congregating, I think in the downtown area, those people are a little softer and less aggressive. People over by Coral Street are a little, it's a little harder experience out there. Those people more than ever need services, by the way. They're not getting services at the homeless services center. They're not downtown. But in terms of, I've been really busy, so I haven't been doing a lot of, like, the Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz Facebook page. I hit a wall over the last month of realizing that when I take photographs of areas, people who are not kind to people who sleep outside use those photographs to enable them to go in and maybe attack these people. Also, I might even be doing the work of the police department and the rangers to find out when and where camps are popping up. I think they have their own reconnaissance teams, obviously. They're well staffed. They don't need me. But, I've seen my photographs turn up on the weekly dump, Santa Mierda. I've seen my photographs elsewhere in discussions of the homeless outside on nextdoor.com.
Yeah, we should mention Santa Mierda is, of course, it's an anti-homeless website that comes out every week. People want to look at the other side. Also, I know it's kind of ironic. You said in the past you've had your own property, which was taken one day, returned the next by, or you were able to secure it back, I think sometimes by kicking down a little money. I think in the case of a bike, you said that happened.
Yeah. And it's been returned three times now.
And that seems to me, I don't know. You haven't told me how often you've had a similar experience with the police department. Have you actually had a good response from either police or other lost and found agencies in the city that are official on the return of any of your property?
The bike has been a great, it's been, the lock has been snipped. It's been taken from Cruz IO. The lock was snipped. And I had a good, people know this bike, and rangers know it. So it's been returned numerous times. But having the RV broken into, and it's apparently somebody who sleeps outside only because I had a large stockpile of expensive jackets that have been donated that I've been keeping aboard here, waiting for winter, blankets, my own sleeping bag, my own camping gear, my own stock of flashlights, then several of my a very expensive news camera that I've been using for interview documentary shooting that was stolen, and then everything you can think of, all of my tools, my personal stash of medicine, everything you can think of all the way through, all the drawers were gone through. Just really weird, things that I use on the daily. And the benefit, the miracle, well, it's not a total catastrophe, is because my computer for the first time ever was not on board. I left it at my office desk, and if that was stolen, it would have been a complete catastrophe. So I'm not so pissed off. What I'm wondering is if people who know me came on board. It seems like people, I've heard reports already that somebody in particular has had, is seen with some of my property, and so I went to them, and they're saying they're trying to help me get it back, but it's frustrating, to help a population and realize that maybe some of those people would are guilty of,
Yeah, I can imagine you may feel betrayed, although this is action you're taking. You're not being contracted by these people to do it. You're doing it because you feel it's the right thing to do.
I filed you're encouraged to file a police report now online. That you call them and they say, please use our online. If it's not a crime in progress, they don't want to come out, right? So, but I didn't even get a case number. I've not been contacted. It's just they're on their database now, and I don't know where that goes. There's a routing number, a tracking number. They said I would get a response with a case number, but and I would expect a call back or something like that's not a police report. That's not an investigation. There's no, I was only able to list a few things in the input field on the website, so it's not like there's even an accounting of what has been taken, so it's real frustrating.
It sounds like you've had more success with individual contacts than with official agencies.
Yeah, but as we see, when a police officer finds a trove of stolen goods in a garage or something, you want, if your items are listed there, you want the police department to know how to get them back to the rightful owner, and I don't, there hasn't been a mechanism for me to list that stuff out clearly yet. So,
well, maybe
I'm frustrated with that system. I'm in the process of releasing, of course, and continuing forward and realizing that we're doing good work and getting good response. By the way, there's a new reporter in town from The Guardian. I can't remember her name now. I'm sorry. She's coming to the storage program today to look at it. She's writing an article for the Good Times, but she's new to town. Has written all over the state on homeless issues, and she's being writing an article for the Good Times right now.
Mm. Well, I won't hold my breath, but who knows? I think Huffington Post also is doing something. I think, but that's another story. What about the Boneyard barbed wire land, the River Street campground? Yeah. Have you had any reports from them as to how things are going, better, worse, the same? And also, I talked to Mel Nunez, who's been involved with the Association of Faith Communities, which, by the way, as you may know, at 5 o'clock today, that's after or before the show airs. No, it's after the show airs. I mean, well, anyway, the show will air before... after it's all happened. So people who are listening to it can't get to it, but it's an open public meeting. There's been some concerns, I think you've expressed them, that the Seventh-day Adventist potential car camp that was opened up is now being essentially either stalled or abandoned, or because the funding hasn't come through, although I don't see why they can't use volunteers the way you do. They're not going to, you know, people are going to be continue to be at the mercy of someone like Cherie last night, who called me in the wee hours telling me someone was banging on her van and sending flashlights through her window. And she's on private property. So, you know, this kind of harassment, I'm aware of secondhand. You're probably aware, and you're aware of it firsthand because your stuff is being taken. But actually, they aren't even trying to take your stuff. They're just trying to make her feel unwelcome. Taunt her.
But, I mean, we're hearing more. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
We're hearing more and more response. People on the street using the term, and I don't use this term because I know it's vague and likely not true. They just keep saying, "Take Back Santa Cruz is attacking us on the streets and taking pictures of us and this and that and the other." Well, I'm not, you know, I don't have access to Take Back Santa Cruz. I know that they have a small organizing crew, but a lot of people are, you know, on their website, but that doesn't mean they're all Take Back Santa Cruz. I have personal friends who are also there, and they're not Take Back Santa Cruz. So I think, but what you do have is a building sense of vigilantism, and that's what we really want to get ahead of here with proactive programs and behaviors and awareness that only exacerbates things, that makes things worse. It comes to a head. Finally, somebody will get killed, and we don't want to see that. There are people attacking tents mistreating people out there. And we haven't seen too much vandalism of the RVs yet, but we do expect, and we're seeing an influx of RVs from Monterey County and Salinas because they're not allowed to be there anymore. But if a vehicle is registered in relatively good repair, like not a lot of fix-it tickets, and it's parked legally, it should be able to be within the city of Santa Cruz, and so we're seeing that. I drive one around, and I'm getting reduced level of vilification. People are not giving me dirty stares. No one's damaging the RV. I keep it in good repair and parked, you know, in appropriate locations. But let me talk really quickly, Robert, if I can, about the Association of Faith Communities car camping program. They were calling it safe spaces.
Before you do, let me just mention to you that there is a meeting at 5 o'clock today, which you're welcome to go to.
Is the leadership council?
Correct.
It is an open meeting, but it is their leadership council, so it's not really an open meeting, but it is open. It's both.
You know, open and shut, right?
So a program like this, first of all, you need a nonprofit to operate it. They've got that. They need, the most difficult thing to acquire of all is the location. They've got that. What they don't have is funding for what? For their service program and for various salaries. But they don't need that to operate this program to benefit up to 100 people immediately, 50 car spots, showers, garbage, electricity access, all you know, people driving in the night, driving out in the morning, they don't really have time for other services. Rather than paying somebody a salary, all you need to do is have somebody camping in an RV, 24/7 on site. There are several people in this community who would take that role. People check in act according to basic agreements. If anybody breaks that agreement, they're no longer welcome in the program. It's easy as that. Anything bad happens, you call 911. I don't understand. These things happen all over the state without the $250,000 they're seeking from the city and the county. It's kind of like us. They're desperate for the legitimacy of city or county funding, and without that partnership, they don't feel like they've got anything.
But unlike you, you, on the other hand, proceeded to simply do what you needed to do for this day and night storage program, whereas they, who also have a fairly large organization of volunteers, aren't doing diddly squat. Well, they're doing their little 20-person program, and they're doing their planning, and that's right,
But they're not even going to be doing the winter shelter this year, so they've got that. They can just transfer that benevolent energy into this parking program. I was going to be going to that meeting tonight. I have to always be very careful, because if I ever say anything that's not exactly supporting of the AFC, it really gets read as, antagonism, especially by the current board, John Showalter, who he and I, are similar types, so we can be a little obstinate. I will go there probably at 5:30 or 6. I'll be in that meeting. Hopefully I get to share my 2 cents with it, which is we need to develop these programs by any means necessary. If you don't get the funding, then you go down to the next level layer of service that you can provide. You don't shoot for the moon, and if you don't get it, you don't do anything. We have to double down on our commitment to people who are sleeping outside and in cars. And what you'll find is the benefit people are getting, they're out there desperate, their families living in cars. They really need just to take on this basic need. And they'll even see people being willing to help support financially a little bit. As you know, the campgrounds cost a lot of money, and this time of year they're all booked up. There's no place to camp legally in a car. So people would be totally willing to lay down $5 a night just to be able to camp out there.
I'd like to know what the outcome of your discussion of that meeting. And I know you've expressed in the past the need to keep your trap shut so you don't offend the mighty and the godly above. But you've also, I think, and I hear you continuing in this discussion, to simply talk about facts. Facts are facts, even if they're unpleasant facts. I'm going to have to leave it there for now, but I'll give you the last word. I'm going to rush off. But what's your thoughts?
Thank you. WarmingCenterProgram.com, WarmingCenterProgram at Gmail. The hotline that we're talking on now is 831-234-9848. Do check out the Facebook pages, Downtown Bathroom Task Force, Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz. And thanks for supporting the day and night storage program. Thanks, Robert.
We're also invited, by the way, to our tabling at Loudoun Nelson, where I will be joining the senior program in order to petition for a reopening of the Loudoun Nelson bathrooms by seniors who seem to be not terribly supportive of their closing the bathrooms there. So
when's that?
That's tomorrow at 10:30 or 11 at Loudoun Nelson.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thank you, man.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. And if you're interested in keeping an eye on what's going on at Loudoun Nelson or supporting those who want the bathrooms reopened or just giving your opinion, you too can show up, 10:30, 11 thereabouts, just in time to watch the bathrooms briefly be open to seniors for the meal before they're shut down 15 minutes after the senior meal, and only the elect, the select, and the worthy, those participating in the programs at Loudoun Nelson, will be allowed to empty their bladder and relieve their bowels. Of course, they'll do it anyway. And they'll do it in spots where it's actually, I would imagine, a costlier cleanup and more offensive to the public. But, hey, Loudoun Nelson's boss doesn't seem to mind that being the alternative. however we do. So show up and see how, let the community see how you feel if you also object.
I was in this really scary situation. I was at a potluck in Berkeley. And I had this really fragile paper plate full of bean salad that I was trying to balance on my knee, and I was caught between two Buddhists who were having a discussion right through me because I was not tuned in, and they had a lot to say about how if you're at the bedside of dying people a lot, you get good at it, and then when you die, you do a better job or something like that. And it doesn't hurt or something. And I was listening to this, and I thought, God, what a crock. So I looked at this one, and I looked at that one, and I said, you know, death doesn't wait till you're ready that way. And they gave me this look that I now know is a Buddhist expression of great disdain. It's called compassion. I didn't know what to do. I had no defense for that. So I went home and wrote a cruel lullaby, which is as though you were trying to explain mortality to a very young child. All these songs are sing-along, so... sacrificed or anything you want. Your name will mean nothing like the life you suffered through. People may drink from your cup but won't remember you. No one's gonna miss you. No one's gonna care. It will be exactly as if you were never there. You will be forgotten like all riders on this bus. You will just be dust someday like all the rest of us. Go to sleep, my little darling. Go to sleep and dream your dreams. That's the best this world can offer you. This world's exactly what it seems. You may sleep and dream tonight, but you'll be dead someday. Everything you leave behind will all get swept away. Anything you think you did that mattered much at all, they'll think someone else did. No one will recall. All of your affections might as well have gone unchanged. All the hearts you thought you broke were easily repaired. Anything you cared about, managed to write down, will be just like any tombstone planted firmly in the ground. Go to sleep, my little darling. Go to sleep and dream your dreams. That's the best this world can offer you. This world's exactly what it seems.
chances, no mansions in the sky. Nothing's gonna balance every head with every miss. Nothing's coming later that makes up for all of this. Don't look back and wonder what else different you could do. No one will be looking back with memories of you. Count yourself real lucky if so long is all they say. Life is cold and life is hard and then it goes away. Go to sleep, my little darling. Go to sleep and dream your dream. That's the best this world can offer you. This world's exactly what it is.
That was another from Carol Denny's Cruel Lullaby. The song has the same name. So I've got an array of newspaper articles here that I could be drawing up and commenting on. I'm not going to do that much because I sort of have a bunch of audios I want you to hear. One thing I have noticed, this is a very brief comment here, is that former council member and architect and well-to-do guy Mark Premack, he also apparently is author of the book Divisible Worlds, Acting Local in a Transient World. I remember when he was on city council, he writes a story, a commentary for the Sentinel, Stepping Outside the Comfort Zone on Poverty, which, you know, sure, good idea for those of us who are in that comfortable zone. And I guess I tend to judge people to some extent, and this isn't always a wise or accurate thing to do, by the political positions they take on the obvious local issues like criminalizing the homeless. And Mark, when he was on the city council, and that was between 2000 and 2004, did absolutely nothing to stop this process. In fact, I think he facilitated it in different votes. I could be wrong about that in some respects. But I do know that he was a supporter of Paul Lee's project to help the Camp Paradise folk with a sort of a local civilian conservation corps called the Santa Cruz, I think it was called the Santa Cruz Conservation Corps, something like that, which aimed to provide work opportunities for people who have been living in Camp Paradise, which is the camp that you heard Brent talk about. It's now, well, not just the camp, but the place where people had been camping back around 2001, and it was washed away by the river, by a flood. But it was also harassed by a liberal city council under Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice and then Mayor Christopher Crone. And Premack was on that council. I'm mistaken. I think he was from 2002 to 2006. My apologies, Mark. In fact, I will check that one out. No, I found I was correct, actually. He was on the council in the spring of 2002, which means he was elected in 2000. Or at least that's what this newspaper article seems to indicate. Anyway, Premack writes a commentary for the Sentinel of July 31st of this year, recently, when he encourages people to step outside their comfort zone. And he goes through a long kind of mea culpa confession about he's a well-to-do guy. He's only been homeless one day, really, in his life as far as camping outside. He's not terribly sympathetic to people in his neighborhood who are homeless, doesn't volunteer often to go to the Homeless Garden Project or eat next to them. He hesitates to walk among trainees. He's got a whole bunch of mea culpas there. And, you know, I kind of acknowledge such honesty. I mean, often I feel similarly given that I'm in such better shape than most homeless folks out there. But I guess the criteria that you know, makes me, that kind of draws me up short is his behavior as an elected official in doing nothing and saying nothing that would combat the growing and now intensely, exponentially growing criminalization of homeless people in Santa Cruz. I mean, extending even to such ridiculous things as shutting down bathrooms and creating pretexts for it, like vandalism that doesn't really exist to any extent, or at least not any more than anywhere else. Bad behavior that's no worse than anywhere else, but really is a function of having a lot of people outdoors who are camping and calling that bad behavior when they don't have any other choices. I mean, it's a really cruel and mendacious dialogue or narrative. It's a kind of an attempt to create a set of villains to make those who are the real villains, most of the community, into the good guys and the victims. And it's kind of disgusting. Anyway, nice try, Mark, but do something about the laws that you helped create between 2000 and 2004, including the downtown ordinances that got much worse, criminalizing more and more of the sidewalk for such innocent behaviors as sitting peaceful, spare changing, and performing. That's your fault. That's your responsibility. You did that. And there isn't a word about it in this opinion piece. I may go into some of these articles on Sunday when I do a longer show usually, though that sometimes gets filled up with flashbacks, so we'll see how that goes. But now, let us turn to them Red Church renegades and hear what comes out of their mouths. And for... sorry for the ring, folks. For those who don't know, and that's probably a few of you, I hope, if we're getting a growing audience... The Red Church is a place where people go to eat on Mondays, one of the free meals in Santa Cruz. And I usually hit the line, the food line, to find out as much as possible what's been going on in the last week, mostly around issues of criminalization activity by authorities and other breaking news.
Report of a, I'm not sure what, say that to me again if you want.
Well, we had an altercation out at West Cliff.
Is it about right? 10 to 6, mine's fast.
That, you know, there was violence, and sometimes my friends don't handle things the way that I would, but anyway, there's a lot of rangers and cops out there yesterday, or this morning, I guess.
Where were they?
Out at West Cliff.
What was their purpose, if any?
Well, investigating a report about a guy elderly man getting beat up. you know.
So they weren't there to drive away people from survival sleeping?
No. I was the only one that was out there sleeping.
And you were left peacefully alone?
Yes, I was. My whole birthday month. Is it good?
Sounds good.
Yeah. 4th of July all the way to the end of July. And then Abby came by and gave me a birthday present of a ride home with all my stuff right to my front door.
Taxi service.
No, it was a birthday present.
Birthday taxi service.
Yes. And it was perfect, right on time. Hey, my friend.
Everybody's in big trouble.
Okay.
Just going to clear the sidewalk, folks.
Start with me, will you?
You're listening to Dreamcatcher.
Well, I got some for you, too.
All right. Well, yeah, it's unfortunate, my friend. You know, he's got paperwork. He's a J-Cat.
Hey,
and we
he
love
never,
him anyway. But, you know... He's a good guy, too, and he's very generous, so you know, it's not nice to take advantage of somebody either. You know, I remember when I had a car and I promised I was going to trade it for him for just a cigarette, and he took me so seriously that I had to give him the car.
And we're going to ponder that one for a while. We've been listening to...
Dreamcatcher.
Thank you. Anybody else? Any reports from the street?
Hey, one more thing.
I have my birthday. I turned 59 on the 22nd of July. I don't feel 59. I'm getting some new teeth. I'm like starting a new life.
Still look cute, I must say. You have any thoughts you want to pass on?
Well, I just, for one thing, advertising for myself on the spot, detailing. I'm going to do it by the Metro. and I'm accepted. I have license, and
what you have a card here with a series of cleaning bottles. You're a U.S.
Wash cars, windows, deep clean, detail. I got the vacuum. I got everything.
What are your rates?
Well, that all depends on what the car is and what condition. What it is.
How's it going today? How much have you been able to make today?
I made $40 already.
How many hours of work did you have to do?
Since 2 o'clock, so 6 o'clock now.
4 hours.
4 hours, yeah.
So, $10 an hour could be better, but could be worse.
Anything helps. I mean, it's better than pushing a cart and with all your belongings.
Depending on people sneer at you as you sit there waiting for spare change.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we've been talking with
Thomas DeRosa.
Hey, Thomas. How can people get a hold of your service? You have a secretary.
That's in the works. I know this is a moneymaker. I've done this for 40 years. I started out at 14 years old. I'm 55 now, and I know how to clean. I know all the shortcuts, and I do have some magical little finger. And I have some chemicals that will do the job.
And you have a sign that says Park Free Car Care.
Right.
And a number of squeegees have an American flag with a bow, tied in a bow. We won't arrest you for that on this station. Disrespecting our American flag.
Hey, independence.
Or their American flag, as the case may be.
Right.
Well, thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Oh, that's...
Nobody's saying, get away from us, you dirty homeless scum.
I've had problems with the bus system with this. I can get on the bus with this. But it all depends. I have to get off if somebody, I even have a disabled card.
You're showing me your disabled card.
Yeah.
You're pulling something out of your wallet here. It says permanent, and there's a picture of somebody who looks like you, maybe, I can't tell.
Yeah, that's me.
And it's a disabled discount fare card for the Metro, it looks like.
But I am disabled, but they won't let me, they let me on the bus with this, but I have to get off if a wheelchair comes in. So I have to be courteous and respectful.
So your disability isn't worth as much as their disability.
Right.
I see. And again,
that's still.
You're coming to the Red Church to eat today.
I'm feeding Daryl.
And how are you? I know Daryl. I think I know Daryl. He has a wheelchair himself.
Yes, he does. I help him out every day.
There have been some concerns in the past about Steve the Sextant, who's kind of patrols the grounds.
Here.
Yeah. Yes. I'm wondering, have you had good experiences, bad experiences? What kind of experiences have you had?
Get off the property you're smoking, or even lighting, or even rolling a cigarette on the property. I couldn't even roll a cigarette on the property.
That is a criminal offense,
I guess.
Not really, no.
Well, with, all respect, it is a church, and... It's just like the bus drivers, it's their rules. If they don't like chemicals, which I really don't have, these are all I wouldn't want kids drinking it, but it's not harmful. And rolling a cigarette out on the steps.
You're not blowing tobacco in people's face or anything of that sort.
So,
okay, what about, that's your point of contact?
It's Nazism.
It kind of smacks me something like that, yeah. But I want to find out what other people's views are.
It's all right, yeah.
I think it's all wrong myself, but
exactly. Every person has a preference, just like the chemicals I'm dealing with. I got Armor All.
I'm not aware that anyone's complaining about it except him, but maybe...
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe somebody is, and I haven't heard about it.
True. So. No, I haven't heard about it either.
Yeah.
But, it's... We're taking up the whole sidewalk here.
You certainly are, shockingly enough. That woman had to actually walk 4 steps out of her way. Imagine that. Right.
This guy's crippled.
Hey, thank you, Thomas.
Hey, thank you.
I saw you on the bus the other morning. We didn't talk to each other.
No idea. Robert's work, anyway.
And you have a nice day.
And you've been talking with?
Scotty.
Hey, Scotty.
Yeah, you have a nice day.
Do you want me to kill you yet? You know what you got on your shirt?
No.
It says, yes, we can, and then it's written.
Kill.
killed.
Well, that's our former Fuhrer, Obama. Now we got a new Fuhrer, Trump. These guys are all war criminals, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they're talking to a higher, you know, that, you know, that.
I mean, it's more like a lower, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, okay, the plutocrats right now, okay, or the autocrats, plutocrats, they're in charge. Money, money, money. Yeah. Nothing. Everything's basically free, you know.
For them, but not for you. You get to pay for them. I'm going to leave it there.
Taxes. Yeah. I'm paying taxes for the license.
Yeah, yeah. Take care, man.
60 or 70 people there. Come and join the silent crowd. And there's a service here at the Calvary Episcopal, which is to say, everyone's sitting around silently. And pretty soon we'll be doing some interviews. Now, hearing the Lord's Prayer, said many a time as Indians were slaughtered, no doubt. Come in. So we'll forego the rest of this, folks. Talking with
Drew.
And Drew, you say strange energy, you noted.
And just feels like there's a weird vibes and stuff, a whole bunch of weird energy out there.
Have you been subject to any particular experiences you want to pass on?
Not really. I've just seen a lot of people getting agitated and frustrated.
Very good. Well, here you are, chowing down, hopefully.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, as far as I know, let's put it this way. If there's progress, I haven't heard about it yet. There is a meeting on Wednesday of the Conscience and Action, the group that did the protests. They're meeting at the Sub Rosa.
At the where?
The Sub Rosa Cafe.
Oh, yes.
At 10:30 on Wednesday.
So. You had a meeting yesterday, didn't you? Was it today? Sub Rosa
on Wednesday at 10:30. Anything happening you want to pass on, right?
I'm in a hell of a situation. I just have to be careful every step I take.
Any hassles in the last night or two?
I'm just not safe on the street, you know.
And how does that manifest itself?
People would just take, since I talked with you, I had all my stuff taken away from me that I would carry, you know.
What did you have taken?
All the bedding stuff. The fineness of a sleeping bag and all that stuff, it's gone.
And so you have no bedding for tonight?
Well, I arranged other things. So that should still be in my storage. But I was locked out of my storage because I couldn't get there in time. If they open early in the morning, that helps my whole day get started quicker because I got so much to do every day.
Are we talking about Brent Adams storage? Which storage are you using?
Well, storage I've had for years.
Because there's free storage that Brent Adams is doing.
Well, it's not free. It's costing me...
Well, no, Brent's storage is free.
Yeah.
He doesn't charge you for it. It's over at the...
I pay over $700 a month for storage.
Right. He lets people put their stuff in these these little containers. And they,
No. That doesn't apply to me. I came into this area with a lot of equipment.
I got you.
Vehicles. And
you got too much stuff. Or too much to do that. I hear you. Well, sorry to hear it. I will pass it on to everybody else to gloom out or cheer up or whatever they do when they hear it. And we've been talking.
Ray.
Of course. Thanks, Ray. Anything else you want to say?
Not at this time.
Okay. No problem.
Cheers, and I hope 2018, this long summer, 2019 will be better.
You're here, and we've been talking with
Scotty.
Thanks, Scotty. Any problems here with this meal? Have you been told not to take food outside, or had any problems with the sexton?
This is my first time back here at the Red Shirt, so I haven't had any problems.
Excellent.
Yeah,
and I hope it continues.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Any reports?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Just dirty bathrooms from the homeless. That's about it.
That's the usual stuff.
The usual, yeah. Yep. Disrespecting public property. That's about it.
Any concerns about the sexton, the guys, the security guard here is treating people?
Where?
Here.
Here?
Yeah.
No.
Is it okay?
No, he tries to clear it out. He has to. Okay. He has to, you know. I mean, they deal with a lot. I go to the AA meeting. They urinated all over there. And then the next time there was thousands of ants from the trash cans during the morning meeting, yeah. I mean, they covered the whole threshold.
Aren't the bathrooms open?
But that was Tuesday after this. Yeah, yeah, Tuesday after this, because they hang out and then they come piss right in the front.
I got you.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
It's a pisser.
It's the usual.
Like.
Yeah, it's the usual from the homeless. That's about all, you know.
And we've been talking with...
What's that?
You want to say who you are?
Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Any street reports?
Yes, I want to say before talk, could you tell on the child? Could you do it for me on the front, please?
Can I do what? I'm sorry.
Bring the child and take food.
I'm happy to do it, but I don't. You want them to come to the front, huh?
Yeah, it's, we have to.
Remember, I don't run this. I'm just like you are. I'm just a visitor here.
You visited?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
But I mean, you could certainly ask if you want. You can ask them.
No. Thank you.
All right. Any street reports?
Huh?
Any reports happening to you?
No.
How are the officials treating you here? You...
Well, I stay away from everybody, you know.
Any hassles here at the church when you're doing the meal? Any problems with that?
No, not at all.
Sounds good. Street reports?
Excuse me?
Any reports from the street you want to pass on? Thank you. Sure. Any street reports? Thank you.
So happy.
So you're smiling.
You're right, because you know God prevails.
All right. Well, take care. All right, you two. Any reports?
Well, we're still up at West Cliff, Lighthouse Field, as you know.
How's that going?
We had the main park ranger see us twice, and he almost ticketed us today.
In or outside of a vehicle?
He saw us coming. Well, he saw us in the area.
Yes.
And then he approached us after we were around, you know where the bathrooms are.
A long time ago.
In front. And he said, by the way, I've seen you guys here. Are you sleeping up here? I've seen you a couple times in a row. I said, no, we're just cruising through and hanging out for a little while. And he started to write out a ticket. And I said, no, we're not doing that.
Come on, you want to give him a chance to write out a ticket, don't you?
No, I don't.
You are so cruel.
Well, he is a veteran. He might have gotten away. He might have been able to slide it because he's a veteran, but they might have ticketed me for $350.
Well, that's the cost for sleeping in Santa. It's an expensive town. No.
Well, I wonder. It's crazy, isn't it?
Particularly if you have to experience it. If I could just talk about it on the radio, that's fine with me. If I had to actually do it, I'd be shitting in my pants because they got the bathrooms locked. You know, so.
Well, that's not how it went, but he actually approached us after he'd seen us twice and had asked about that. So.
Well, keep up the evasive fight, so to speak.
We're going to try. We'll do everything we can.
And you know this woman. What do you think? She's telling us the truth.
Yes, a fine question. Her item she might mention from up there, though. Let's see, was this Friday night that we had the tweaker come over?
Yes, he had some interesting activity. I didn't wake up, but he was around, and he experienced a lot of...
You saw some of it.
But he was awake. He heard a lot of...
We were in our spot, and this... obvious tweaker rides up on a bicycle with flashing lights on it, parks right next to us, goes into the trees on the other side of this little grove that we're in. So there's a fallen log across in between, and he's on the other side of this thing. And he says, oh, I'm just looking for some stuff I left behind. I'll be gone in a few minutes. Proceeds to rummage and crash around for about 25 minutes. And at the end of it, it looks like what he's gotten back... This is a little too close, my friend. What he seems to have gotten back is two twigs from trees that he's trimmed off And is
he's a tree trimmer, is another word.
Yeah, he's taking off two pieces of tree. That this is his excuse for being there and for constantly looking over at us and shining his flashlight on us. And
tree lover.
I ask him what he's doing, and he says, "Oh, this tree is very important to my family. I have to get some samples from it before it dies."
The family tree, in other words.
Yes, of course.
And we've been listening to the report.
So,
you want to say more?
Yeah, let me finish the report. So after about 25 minutes there, he finally leaves, making some additional little comments on his way. Then after we go to sleep, he comes back and steals a little canvas bag that she has three of her small blankets in. Completely worthless to him, but I guess it's important to damage us in some way, so that's what he did, which is what most of the creatures here will do.
He kept the blankets?
Yeah, the blankets we have, she has to carry them around now in a plastic bag instead of the canvas bag, because this guy stole it.
It means nothing to him, he just decided to take it.
I mean, there was a bag this big. Not that wide.
It was his bag. Or no, it wasn't his bag, actually.
No.
Well, that's the point, yes.
I guess he got to be his after all, so I guess he took it for himself.
And we've been listening to...
Nazira?
And we're...
And Ismail.
That's more or less the report at this time.
All right. Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any reports?
Well, I met Mayhem yesterday at the shelter in Watsonville.
What happened?
Well, obviously, I'm alive and my body's not tore up.
Apparently.
So, not much. He kind of actually laughed at it.
Well, what happened?
It's more importantly, what didn't happen.
Well, that's good.
I have nothing to say about it. It makes my stomach hurt.
All right. Well,
I'll get back to you on that.
We'll talk about it again.
I guess Watsonville is all about watts and voltage and DC and AC. I guess that's the sun that got zapped. Stuck his finger in a light socket too many times. You can do it twice. The third time is you have no return.
And we'll leave it there for
the moment. Kids always do that. They always stick their finger in the light socket once. And they know if they do it again, they might survive that weird feeling.
We'll leave it there. And we've been talking with?
Mike Moses.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, we'll get this figured out.
All right. Any reports?
Pass.
Three reports?
Yeah, it's going to be documented. I think there's some comedy in this.
Oh, good.
Yeah, if we laugh at ourselves, I think it would be all right.
Do you have any jokes you wish to tell?
Not that would be acceptable on your device.
Well, I don't know. Frankly, we got a pretty broad-minded device.
No.
Now, are you outside yourself at the moment?
No.
So you're doing okay, or at least you're not outside.
Right, I'm not outside.
But you're here in this line because of the excellent food that's being
right.
served here.
That's right, the casseroles and the baby food.
They're pretty good,
egg salad, yeah.
Now, were you a mom or just a hungry woman?
I'm a hungry woman and I'm a mom. I'm separated from my son.
And your son's not with you at the moment?
No, he's in Texas.
But you have found a place to be indoors.
Yeah, Face Community Shelter.
And how long have you been there?
Since February.
And how's it treating you?
You'd be surprised what political angst and disrespect is given and dished out daily to us in the name of Christ.
Charity?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that, if you wish.
Well, the person that runs the show has been homeless for 16 years, and he was a ex-Harley's Hell's Angel, and he used to deal China White, and he's a chronic smoker, and he says that every morning at 5, "Good morning!"
Kind of to wake you up, right?
It's an assault on our senses, and I think we all have a little bit of PTSD from it.
How does it compare with how you're treated here? How do you come up with the Red Church?
Well, we stay at the Red Church on Monday nights, and we have to clean up all of this before we can rest. So between the people nodding off from heroin and the pee, you know, their doors are open to us, but this environment and the people sing out of key makes me kind of sad. So I'm going to try to write some kind of satire about it, maybe.
When you do, I expect you can talk to us about that, too.
I'd love to.
And we've been talking to?
Dory Jones.
Thank you, Dory.
My pleasure.
All right. Should be on the air. ¶¶
and it's not so bad. There's worse things you could get or do. You're coughing your lungs up and you feel real mad about what the government's doing to you. You buy that shit in those ethylene bags. You smoke up half of the lid. Can't say no, I saw ya. 6 weeks later, you're bleeding gas. You can't believe what they did. Times are hard now and life gets cheap. Solutions are hard to bring off. The social fabric's been cut too deep, and you're just a guy with a cough. Hey, you, Mr. Longhair, I hear you coughing, and I know you ain't no coal miner. Mind stepping over here to the squad car? Birth control tablets, they're not so bad. I mean, how else could any two screw? Cause anyone can. But then your inside start looking real sad. What's the doctor been doing to you? Their family had to be primed. They sold you on ZPG. But after many years of fooling your glands, it seems the zero's not free. Times are hard now and life gets cheap. The haves have to have the have-nots. The social fabric's been cut too deep, and you're just a woman with clots. But I love you anyway, baby. That's all right, put that thing in, I'll wait. Low-level radiation isn't so bad. I mean, who knows what effect will come through. Might improve me. The Christmas tree lights and the heating pad. You're so glad for what the company is doing for you. You said you needed energy in your home. And never mind as to price. But now the marrow turns to dust in your bones. You lose your turn at the dice, and that's not nice. Times are hard now and life gets cheap, and garbage gets choked to the dump. I ain't talking no trash. The social fabric's been cut too deep, and you're just a guy with a lump. Why don't you show me where it hurts, baby? Oh, that's a little lump. I understand they're gonna have a cure for that someday.
That was from Red Shadow, the Economics Rock and Roll Band. I've played them before. Might have played this one before. Used to hear that a lot in the 70s. A little hard to hear, but
I think you heard some of it.
And I hope you did, because same kind of stuff is happening now, only more so. Back to Red Church Chatterings, and, well, here it is.
You're still playing on the streets?
I'm still playing on the streets, I am.
No hassles?
No, not really.
At the Palomar at night?
At the Palomar at night. It's the usual. You got to be done by 10, but that's, you know, that's understandable, because if I live there at the Palomar, I'd want to be able to sleep at night, too. You know?
Fair enough. If that's, in fact, what's going on. Is it the Palomar people who are complaining, or the cops?
Yeah, they'll complain, and then the cops will come and shut everybody down. But that's fine. That's fine. And they let it go for like an extra hour or so on the weekends.
So if you want to hear you do your playing, you come to the Palomar between 8 and 10?
Pretty much.
All right.
You know the schedule.
I think so. I'm not down much, but thank you.
Well, you're local. You know.
All right. Any reports from the street? Thank you. Street reports? Street reports? Any reports from the street?
I don't have problems.
Well, that's good. That's not bad. Any reports? Any street reports?
Besides homeless people stealing from other homeless people.
That does happen a lot, I hear.
Yeah.
Have you been thefted out yourself? Or?
Oh, yeah, my whole purse.
And how long ago did that happen?
About a week or so.
Yeah, so have you been a week without a theft?
Oh, yeah.
You're good. That's pretty good. Good
so
record.
Far. so far. But, you know, what can I say? I don't have anything to steal anymore.
Well, they could steal your sense of security and dignity.
Honey, I got a stick.
That's true, you do.
Oh, true.
And we've been listening to the reflections of...
I'm sorry.
Your name?
Johanna Lee Reynolds.
Thank you, Johanna.
You're welcome.
Hey, call man, do you have any reports for us?
Well, the police from UCSC are still on me.
Well, of course, as they should be.
They tell me they have no surveillance cameras there that I could
of course not. They
subpoena
would never do that.
For the court case.
Well, they don't have any.
But yeah,
cameras.
In 5 minutes, they're upon me when I go to the library.
They're very sensitive to those things.
They say homeless people and other community members have no right to use the library.
Of course not.
Wow.
Get yourself a student card and a loan.
Yes, they do.
Student loan.
I don't know who's right, the police or the library.
I can't help you with that.
Oh, come on, Robert.
I know nothing. I myself am merely an innocent victim here. Or you're the victim, actually, and I'm the innocent guy. So you're going to court soon?
So sad. Yeah, I have a few court cases I have to button up.
Anything
new
court
to file? But now, Well, let me just leave you with this.
Yes.
That's all I can say now until things are filed.
And we've been listening to the thoughts of...
So this will be Trixie Ice Out.
All right, then.
Keith said you would know about... I heard they passed an RV law.
They have an RV law. You mean here in Santa Cruz?
Well, I'm asking you. Did they...
They tried to, and then they pulled back on it because the Coastal Commission let them know that they couldn't get a... They weren't going to give them a permit for that because it denied people coastal access. So it's on hold, but... That doesn't mean they don't act as though they have a coastal, I mean, a RV law.
What was the law? I heard it was just making them get people get permits.
No, well, you can only get a permit if you know someone who's a resident here who you can park at their place or near their place. And that, the law didn't pass. But they may pretend it has, so let me know if you hear anything.
Okay.
Thank you, Jar.
No worries.
All right.
Thank you, Robert.
All right. Any reports from the street?
Hare Krishna.
And the same to you.
Thank you.
Street reports?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Mel Nunez, as I live and breathe. He's a famous man in some quarters. I can't talk to you. I'm talking to the people. Huh?
I got a new nom de plume. Off the record.
Off the record. We'll call you O-F-F-R. O-T-R.
I thought I was going to have to use it.
Any reports?
Nah. What do you got?
Any street reports for free radio?
Street reports? Nah.
Fair enough.
Everybody's robbing us blind. We're tired of it.
That's a report.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I wouldn't think so.
No, I don't like it. Is this
water? Hey, Sonny, anything for your fans out there?
Yeah, it was my birthday yesterday. That's it.
Well, that's your mother should be commended on her good work.
65 days partying.
Well, we'll leave you to your partying activity then. Any reports? Any reports from the street? She's dancing.
In food not bombs.
Oh yeah, the attempt to pass an anti-food law. I remember that.
38 years, man. That's a long walk. Long walk.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a handout from the Food Not Bombs, which I guess Keith said around December. Any reports from the street?
Yeah, the obstruction of sidewalk tickets. Come on, man. Really?
Did you get an obstruction of the sidewalk ticket?
Yeah.
When was this?
Last week over by Loudoun Center. We were just sitting there and waiting for him to open the gate, and they came by and wrote us tickets.
Is it Loudoun Nelson?
Yeah.
And you were on which sidewalk, which street?
It's the one-way street right to Kitty with Laurel, you know.
That's Washington. Door, yeah. I guess Washington, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And who gave you a ticket, a park ranger or a cop?
No, these were cops.
And about what time of day was it?
It was 7:30 in the morning.
And what did this woman or man say to you?
There's two guys. They said, you know, give me your IDs and stuff, and, you know, I had a problem with that. So, you know.
Oh, you got a special ticket because you didn't want to have a name tattooed on your forehead.
No, when he asked me for my ID, I said, I want to see yours.
Very good. But he's a cop. He's supposed to. Did he show you his ID?
Yes, he did.
That's very nice. Then he showed you his ticket book.
Yes.
Right.
So, next time I'll shut up.
I guess that's their point, isn't it?
Yeah.
They want to shut you up and shut you down and shut you out.
Yeah. And next time... well, they thought somebody was camping, but we're all just sitting there talking, waiting for 9:30 to come along.
Talking without a permit?
Really are.
And we've been listening to
Brian Hoyos.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
Pete, with the homeless rights thing, man, okay, it's happening all over the place.
Oh, yeah?
You know, like Flagstaff, we were fighting this issue in Flagstaff years ago where they elevated it to a misdemeanor. You know, once they elevate it to a crime, they can get a warrant to look in somebody's car to see if they suspect somebody's sleeping in it or not. Otherwise, it's an infraction. They can't get a warrant.
So how long have you been back?
Huh?
How long have you been in Santa Cruz?
This time, like 3 days.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I lived here 3.5 years out in that forest, remember?
I think I remember you, yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was the guy at the city council meeting that you know, told him I'll be out in the forest. If you can find me, I'll pay the rent.
And we've been talking with...
Huh?
And your name again?
Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
I got an email from a reporter who's doing an article for Huffington Post about vehicle dwellers, particularly the ones who might be interacting negatively or positively with neighbors. And if you go to Santa Cruz Full-Timers on Facebook... I shared the request for the reporter to connect with vehicle dwellers so they can find an article there. I posted it about a week ago.
How was the article?
I think it's still being written.
Oh, correct. That's right. I think I got your email. I remember now.
Okay, good. Hopefully you can connect with them too, I hope.
Keep on my tail. Maybe I will.
I will. I'll do that.
Anything else?
I think that's it so far. So far, that's the only thing. I mean, I hear a lot of rumors, but nothing solid yet, so I'm just going to wait. Okay.
And we're listening to...
Julie Shaw, Santa Cruz Full-Timers.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
I've been having a hard time finding food. I'm copying the Bible. I'm more than halfway past Genesis. I got almost a full notebook, composition book done. College rule, of course. I don't know. Let me think.
How's the community treating you?
Oh, you know, the human family is thriving, not for me. other than that, I mean, I don't have much to report on. I haven't gotten hit, so that's good.
All right. We've been listening to...
Eric Villasenor.
Thanks, Eric. All right. If I'm around, if I don't,
yeah,
you come to me.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Thank you, yes.
Great. Well, thank you. Our favorite war criminal of yesterday, and now we got the one today. They're all one after another. Clinton,
oh, man,
Trump.
I cry. I want him back.
Obama.
He was so much more decent. No, he was so much more decent.
Not really.
He was black.
No, he was black.
He was black.
He was black,
and
but
I
he
love
wasn't.
Black people.
Well, that's nice. He didn't love black people.
He was raised in Hawaii, where they aren't so prejudiced.
I see.
There's a whole big melting pot. Actually a melting pot.
He wasn't
Hawaii.
Prejudiced against money, that's for sure. He hired all the money people. Anyway.
Not all of them. Not as many as we got now. We got way more swamp monsters. They're disgusting people. They're disgusting people.
Anything happening in Santa Cruz you want to comment on?
Well, I'm trying to get my key people from burying the library in our parking lot.
Anything new in that story?
Every Wednesday. Yeah, last Wednesday when I started praying, thanking the trees for our shade that they've provided all these years, a couple of young men just jumped up in the trees and started praying back, thanking the trees, and look like they'd be ready to tree sit any day now.
That would be interesting. Let us know if you arrange
or
organize.
There's something coming up, a meeting. Do you know when it is?
I think there's an August 1st walkthrough of the library, but I don't know when exactly it is.
Well, that's Wednesday.
Off-tune singers. Off-key, that is. Announcement, everybody. Quick announcement here. There's some questions if wondering, first of all, how people feel about some of the rules here, because people have come to me and asked about that, specifically the rule you shouldn't take food outside or linger outside. Does anybody have any problems with that?
Rules. Questions.
Yes.
Comment.
Any questions or comments? Okay, I've heard people off the record giving a lot of comments and concerns. Yes?
What defines lingering?
All I know is people have been told just for standing and talking outside this building to move along. Yes, socializing is defined as lingering, at least by the individual who's running around telling people to do that, to move on. Anyway, there is also a meeting on Wednesday, if you're interested, of Conscience and Action, which is the group trying to open the bathrooms at the Loudon Nelson Center to everybody, not just those who are specifically coming to the events. That is to say, like it used to be.
Oh, right. I didn't even know it changed.
And that's happening at 10:30 on Wednesday morning at the Sub Rosa Cafe, which is next to the Bike Church. If you want to check that out, 10:30 Wednesday, day after tomorrow. Sonny, you got a question?
Yeah, we just got to try and learn how to be in the toilet.
That's always a good idea, I agree. No question.
Can you repeat that? I can't remember.
10:30, yeah.
I couldn't hear that last
meeting. 10:30, there is a meeting of Conscience and Action on Wednesday at the Sub Rosa. This is the group that is trying to open the bathrooms. They got the San Lorenzo bathrooms open. So now we're trying to get the Loudon Nelson bathrooms open.
Speaking of conscience and what?
Conscience and action.
Conscience and action.
Yeah.
Whoever's robbing everybody, their brothers and their guy down the street and taking it from people sound asleep and cutting their backpacks off them, armed robbery, everything. Whoever's robbing everybody, they need to quit robbing each other. I'm not telling you to have a love affair, but quit stealing from your partners or your bros that are not in a position to be stolen from, please.
There's also another announcement. I believe the Association of Faith Communities, which runs a shelter for a lucky 20 people, is having a meeting on Thursday at 5 o'clock here. And they're going to be talking about one of the issues that people are concerned about is the car camp that was supposed to open up at the edge of town in August and September, but is now apparently on indefinite hold. So if you're interested in that, in making your opinions known, I understand it's open to the public. 5 o'clock, Thursday, here, coming up. If anybody has anything they want to talk to me about for the radio, whether it's tickets or harassment by different groups, whether it's here at this church or elsewhere, come and talk to me. We'll put it on the air, or we'll talk about it privately if you wish. Thank you.
Yes. A couple months ago in Flagstaff, that issue came up again about sleeping being a misdemeanor, a crime. Okay, city ordinance. Anyhow, they tried to get it back to an infraction, and they got shot down. It still stands as a misdemeanor. We can't let that stand as setting a precedent for the rest of the United States. That sets a precedent, and other cities follow.
The advantage of a misdemeanor in California is supposedly you get a jury trial. You don't get a jury trial with an infraction. That's the problem. But it doesn't matter, because often they'll just drop it after holding you in jail for 30 days or whatever, and they'll say, oh, we're dropping the charge now. And people haven't got the legal muscle to sue on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, let me know what you think of the scene when you've been here for more than 3 days.
All right, well, I didn't even know this was happening. I got my car out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I was just walking around. I heard the noise, and I looked through the door. Went, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back and lock my car and come back. When I turned around, some guy goes, hey, you can't be walking around between the buildings. I says, hey, I didn't even know this was going on.
The guy in the white shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Steve the Sexton. He's the guy I was referring to. who we got a number of complaints about. So.
And I'm going, hey, man, I just now figured out this is going on, man. I'm going back to my car to lock it up. You know, it's kind of like negative.
Dig it. And we've been listening to.
Huh?
Mike. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Me.
And you're a person who's really knowledgeable about the shelter situation at the Association of Faith Communities, which last year ran the winter shelter, and this year is having a leadership council meeting Thursday. I guess it's after this is being broadcast. My goodness. And giving away the stuff for you, baby spinach, a dog, and some clothing.
What's going on here?
I'm grilling this man here. I'm attempting to get the truth from this individual.
Don't bring any food outside.
And also, if you're gonna linger here, I may have to call over Steve the sexton to come and disperse us.
It might be. Yeah, you might have to. Yeah.
But anyway, you're saying that this leadership council on Thursday, which already has happened by the time we play this, it may be discussing why the city is dragging its feet or on the funding for the Seventh-day Adventist campground, which. What, the Association of Faith Communities has agreed to run, provided they get some money?
Well, I think, more correctly, the Association of Faith Communities has made a proposal to operate a recreational vehicle parking program.
That's what I mean.
We actually made a written proposal to the city. My understanding is we haven't had an acceptance of that proposal.
They're on vacation. Maybe in a few years they'll be up talking
well,
to
you about it. Well, any new program like that is going to take a certain amount of money to fund, and right now, our resources wouldn't allow us to operate that independently. We did participate last year. The Salvation Army was the operator of the winter shelter last year, and we provided the food. And the year before, we were actually the operator of the winter shelter, but the Homeless Services Center was the fiscal sponsor for the program. This year, as far as we know, there's no winter shelter, but we're not yet aware of what's happening with the all-year shelter either. So there's a lot of things up in the air right now. And although it's the end of July, winter isn't that far away, really, so time is of the essence to get organized, make some decisions.
Not for me. I'm indoors. Why do I give a care?
Well, you know, if you care about people, you'd like to have them have at least the option of being indoor citizens as well as outdoor citizens. If they'd rather, they can pick either one. But right now, there aren't a lot of options for indoor. I heard.
True.
Any other thoughts? I'm just sure. Now, how did you introduce yourself as?
Scott Galloway.
I knew that, but I don't know if you wanted to be known by your nom de guerre.
Well, you know, I'm just a volunteer here today, so that's all I do. I just volunteer.
Well, thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
We were created, we were celebrated.
And as you might imagine, that is Labor is Value from Red Shadow, another one of the Economics rock and roll band songs. To close out the show, I'm going to play you an interview with Jim Vivian, who is a San Jose activist who used to come over and support us here in Santa Cruz. He himself is looking for some support and is going to describe what's happened to him recently. So it's August 1st, 2018, in the evening. It's about 6:30, and I'm talking with Jim Vivian. Hey, Jim.
Hi.
And Jim, apparently this was the day that you were going to get ousted from your mobile home, your trailer where you were living, but you were able to successfully persuade a judge to back you up in sort of an unusual, according to your email, behavior by a judge. I have very little confidence in judges myself, and I haven't seen a lot of positive activity, but you apparently were able to stop an eviction, and you've been very concerned about that. Am I kind of barking at the wrong tree or at the right tree here?
No, that's probably right. I didn't actually talk to the judge. I wrote a pretty long declaration with a lot of documentary evidence. He didn't call me in to talk to me or anything. I just got a call from the court saying, to come back in. And they said, yeah, the judge granted your temporary restraining order.
Now, what does that mean, Jim, the temporary restraining order? How long does that affect you? You're trying to live in a place where they can evict you in 60 days regardless, right?
Oh, sure. And I have no problem with that. What happened is I am living up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and I've been living there for over 17 years. And the people who had owned the property for, I think, 30-plus years, they just sold the property, and the deed date was June 15th. They themselves moved out on July 15th. So when I actually, when I first met this woman in person who's one of the new landlords, she's like, oh, I want you to stay here. I hear you've been here a long time, and you always pay your rent and all that. So,
there didn't seem to be any problem initially.
There didn't seem to be any problem initially. She seemed like she was nice and everything. So, then
suddenly you got... I've seen this dense series of emails that seem to be going back and forth, or your description of them. Again, in the middle of July, she was saying that the money that you had said you had deposited didn't get deposited. Then suddenly she was going to demand you leave by August 1st today.
Well, what she did is we were communicating by text messages because after the one time I talked to her on the phone, I got a little bit of a bad feeling about it, and I talked to my old landlord, and he said she had kind of turned, wasn't the nice person she had seemed to be. So what she did is, she first wanted me to deposit the rent by money transfer, and then I found out the kind it would take, because it looks like, from another bank, and it would have cost me like another $30. And then she said she'd accept the check, agreed to pick up the check on July 23rd, last Monday, which was, Monday before last Monday. No, it was the day she was going to be moving in herself, she said. So I even offered to give her the check in San Jose because she lived in San Jose, right? So
yeah.
What happened is she agreed to pick it up on the 23rd, and then on the 20th, the Friday before I was going to give her the check, she sent me a text message saying, I want to demolish the mobile home you're living in on August 1st.
Now let me ask you this, Jim. Let me ask you this. What's the nature of this property, and what kind of structures are on it?
There's a house, that's on like a hillside. It's 2.5 acres in Lexington Hills. It's right above Lexington Reservoir on the Los Gatos side of the mountains. It's actually unincorporated Santa Clara County. But, so it's a 2.5-acre property, and then there was – trailer spaces, one that he used to rent sometimes, or the old landlords used to rent to, you know, people who had their own trailer or whatever. And then his sister then a few years ago had moved in, got a trailer herself. It was her own later. She first moved into a trailer that was the landlord's, in that she got her own trailer.
So in essence, there are several. There are
my mobile home.
There are several trailers or mobile homes, and then a permanent house as well.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and this is. Are you the only person that this has been affected by this sudden decision by the landlord? I guess I guess the threat was that she was going to demolish her trailer by August 1st, or.
Right.
Or have it removed or some such thing?
He said demolish. I mean, it's basically a terroristic threat. I mean, I if I can remember the wording exactly, she said, I want to demolish the mobile home you are living in.
Did she give any
I want to demolish the mobile home you are currently living in on August 1st.
Is there anything about your mobile home that, you know, does it have rats running in and out of it? Is it covered with mold? Is it, you know, some sort of it hanging on a cliff? I mean, what did she give any reason or pretext for this decision?
Well, not really. I mean, there is one issue in particular that I had spoken to her about, and that is that I realize I'm a hillbilly, you know. I'm a born-again hillbilly, you know.
What do you mean?
Straight-up trailer trash hillbilly. And in the summer, I take my showers with a hose and my bathing suit to water the redwood trees outside in the yard, you know. So it didn't matter to me in the summer, but all I said is, you know, I shut off my propane tank this spring because I was smelling propane, and I don't like use. See, I don't heat my trailer or anything. You know, I'm an radical environmentalist, trailer trash hillbilly, and so I don't really use it that much. But when I need to take a hot shower, you know, in the fall, I said, you know, I got to get that fixed. You know, that's the main thing I talked to her on the phone about regarding the, you know, the issues. But I did tell her, you know, but see, basically what was happening is that I was planning on moving out before my old landlord's sold the place. Then in late February, I thought I'd sprained my ankle. Turns out it wasn't getting better. You know, I was having all kinds of problems with it, and
Jim, how old are you?
I'm 58.
Uh-huh. And so, in other words, physical problems sort of suggested you weren't going to be moving out as quickly as you thought, or moving out at all. But again, did she mention that this propane tank or whatever, or your showering habits were the reason why she suddenly decided she wanted you out? Or are you speculating here?
No, I don't think she knows anything about my showering habits. As far as that goes, is she called me, you know, about arranging to get the. What happened is they bought the place. The deed date was June 15th. Okay, so I paid my old landlord, you know, the rent for all of June, right? So he actually gave her a check. Wrote her a check on June 25th. She didn't pick it up, so when they vacated the place on July 15th, he said, you know, they left a check for her. She cashed it the next day for half of my rent. So she got paid, and then, you know, but she wanted to get the rent for July, you know, so she called me on the phone and left a message. I called her back and talked about it, and I told her, I said, well, you know, I got to explain to you that, you know, about I was, you know, moving and found out I had like a fracture in the bottom of my leg.
So Jim, if we're to cut to the chase here, are you saying that you had to delay payment of the rent, or she wasn't getting paid as quickly as she thought she wanted to be?
Well, she wanted due by bank transfer, but on the 17th of July. You know, the bank transfer has got $30. He had given us, like, wrong bank.
I got you. Well, to understand the basic situation, you had agreed to pay the rent, but she was going to essentially threatening to have your home, you said, demolished anyway. Has been changed because the judge, who even without even talking to you, decided that at least for the moment you're going to be okay. How long does their TRO last?
Well, it lasts until the hearing, which is, I think, August 21st. It's basically about 3 weeks.
And then what happens?
Between 20 and 25 days.
And then what happens?
So then they have a hearing, and they might modify the order. It also depends if I've moved out of there by that time.
Now, what are your plans? Do you plan to stay? Do you plan to go? Have you been able to find other rental housing?
No, I'm pretty much been living with my... I have an elderly father, so I've been more at his house than up in the mountains since my mother died a few years ago. Unlike a lot of people, I do have a place to go.
So are you concerned primarily that your property just not disappear or get destroyed while you're away? Is that your primary concern?
Well, I would imagine if they are destroying my, demolishing my mobile home.
I mean, is that the reason? Is that the reason you went to the judge? I mean, is that your? I mean, and are you relatively satisfied, or are you still in the lurch?
Well, as long as, you know, I would think these people wouldn't do anything with a judge's order, temporary restraining order, telling them, you know, you can't do it. I would hope that. I mean, they basically, you know, weren't, just felt like they could do whatever they want.
Now, will you be coming in on the 21st with further arguments, or do you think you'll be out of there, or do you want to stay?
Well, no, I don't want to stay. As far as being out of there on the 21st, I'd say 50-50. You know, there's a good chance I'll be out of there by the 21st. You know, I'm looking for people to help me, especially somebody with a truck.
So you're looking for somebody to help you move, how much stuff do you have to move?
Well, what happened is I had partly way moved.
Well, let me put it this way.
I thought I just sprained my ankle, but I actually had a broken bone in there.
Let me put it this way, Jim. Jim, why don't we do it this way? That if you want to put out your number or your email, you're up in the boonies up there, right? You're a hillbilly man, yeah. I mean, you're.
I'm a hillbilly identity extremist now.
Shocking. But let me ask you, if you want to, why don't you give us your number so people can reach you if they want to help, and then add anything additional that you might want to say.
Okay. So let me give you my number if you can help me out. My number is 408-634-9749, or you can email me at jim.vivian@yahoo.com. Vivian is spelled just like the woman's first name.
And if you don't get any of those details because you aren't near a pad of paper and a pencil, just call the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's where I'm recording this is off of. That's sort of the makeshift pseudo studio line. We haven't got a studio, but I have a phone line, and that's what I'm doing. And I will pass on your number to them, Jim, or their number to you. And you're looking for somebody with a vehicle who wants to help you move or just wants to come up and help just move property into somebody else's vehicle?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, either one. If somebody has a truck, that would be great, because the one problem I have right now is nobody I know has a truck.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to add to this?
Well, what I wanted to explain is I was planning on moving out in earlier, and the reason I didn't is because I was hurt. So I still have pretty much stuff to move. And when I spoke to the woman on the phone in early July, you know, I said, look, you know, you got to decide what you want to do. But I got half of my stuff moved out already. already. I'm hurt. You know, I don't even have a lot of my summer stuff in there because that's the first stuff I moved out thinking I wouldn't be there this summer. And I said, you know, if you're like going to raise the rent or all that, I'm probably just going to probably, you know, try to move out. You know, it's unlikely. And I said, and she talked to me about it. I talked to her about the propane that I had shut it off because there was some kind of leak or something.
Well, let me ask you, Jim. Are you seeking? Do you want continued tenancy at the current rental, or are you, you primarily saying I just want time to get out of there?
Well, that's the thing is I was amenable to moving out. If she would have given me 60 days notice, I probably would have tried to do it in 30 if I could. I wouldn't have to pay her for another month. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what's the state law on this regarding that situation? I'm not sure I'm thoroughly familiar with it. I know normally if you've been there for as long as you have in an ordinary rental unit, you have some protection, or at least I think 60 days. But do you have that kind of protection on in a trailer?
Yes.
Well, then she would be violating the law, I guess.
Well,
and I guess that's
she's
what
she's violating all kinds of laws. She's been doing.
So I guess what I'd say to you is try to document as much of it as you can. If you got a cell phone, take pictures if it has any capacity to do that, or audio any conversations you have, document it. And I think you've been doing that pretty well because you've persuaded this judge. What's the name of the judge?
No, I didn't even meet her. It starts with an O. It's like Overson or something like that.
Okay, well, whatever she is, it sounds like you've the moment of at least the crisis of August 1st has been met. And I think I'm going to leave it there unless there's anything you want to add.
Well, I just want to say if you got a problem where somebody's completely unreasonable and they're just saying they're going to flaunt the law, basically you're probably going to have to try to get a temporary restraining order to stop them. That's what I did, and it worked.
Well, very good. Apparently you've got more expertise than I do. I've never gotten a temporary restraining order.
I never did before either.
I've had one against me, mind you, but never gotten one on my behalf. That was when the city tried to stop us from lobbying for winter shelter for people because they didn't like us coming to their offices. But anyway, I'm gonna roll on you. And again, Jim Vivian can use some help up there as moving, it looks like. Or a truck is what you're looking for. Give me a call at 423-HUFF, and I'll give you his number again, and you can get in touch with him directly.
Well, thank you, Robert.
Well, thank you, man. Keep up the good work, and whatever you're doing. I don't know if you're the good work or the bad work. It's struggling to stay and maintain your housing is a problem that you're not alone in facing. So I will talk to you more again, and I think I got an incoming call, so I'm going to leave it there.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
And that's pretty much it for this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. I do recommend, as I think I've told you in a past show, if you want more updates or to hear a real clash of interesting views on the rent control initiative that's coming up for a vote in November and the Just Cause Eviction Protection Ordinance that's with it, go to the KSCO.com website and look for the July 21st Saturday special. That's July 21st Saturday special at the KSCO.com website. I understand there's also a KZSC show that happened last week, but so far I haven't heard anything from tenant activist Cynthia Berger and more details on that. So this is going to be probably one of the most important issues, although it doesn't roll back the rents, it doesn't end the prohibitively high rents that are currently happening. Supposedly, it's going to stop evictions and stop further rent raises. And, of course, what we really need are significant rent reductions and some fundamental changes that, unfortunately, are not right around the corner. So perhaps I'll see you tomorrow at the Loudoun Nelson Center. Not sure whether they're going to be at the children's playground or at the back porch or at the front entrance, one of the three probably, as we monitor what's going on with this abusive and presumptuous closing of public facilities to people because of their unhoused status and because of the city's failure to want to provide or to be willing to provide necessary facilities. Back on Sunday with more, presumably, unless I well, my endless proviso that I may not be here tomorrow, so appreciate me and this program while it's here today. And remember, Free Radio needs your help. We are really on the edge. So get in touch if you'd like to help. More information at 423-4833. And the reward for finding a studio space is still open, as you'll hear from the frequent announcements on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Whenever we're sailing the high seas in Santa Cruz,
we listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.
Good evening, my friends. Afternoon and day. This is our duck here, asking you to help us find a new studio location. $500 to the one that can provide. If you know such a spot, it needs, a bathroom, electricity, ability to connect internet and telephone. Dry would be nice. We all thank you in advance for your support of this truly community-operated pirate radio station. 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. Send us an email with your knowledge. frsc@freakradio.org. We thank you in advance. Ha ho! From Lothar and the Hand People. Before that, a little Snake Finger with his rendition of the Garden of Earthly Delights, originally performed by White Noise, who you heard just before that with Here Come the Fleas. The United States of America, stranded in time, opening the cream to the dregs with some Harry Nilsson in the good old desk. You heard it right. You are tuned into the Cream to the Dregs, which comes to you each Thursday from 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time until 11 p.m. Also Pacific Standard Time, conveniently enough for the calculated folks here at the station, which is FRSC, the finest radio in Santa Cruz, broadcasting at 101.1 FM, streaming along at freakradio.org, thanks to your ongoing support and sustaining donorship. Check it out, do what you can, and make it payable to FRSC. Send it to P.O. Box 7811, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. If you'd like to give a call,